Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Mountains are places that we think of as places of enlightenment. I enjoy cartoons, and a stock image in cartoons is the seeker who is climbing the mountain to consult with the guru. You've probably all seen a cartoon like that. And so the seeker asks the guru a question, and sometimes it's a silly question. In fact, it's often a very silly question. Sometimes what the guru says in response is incomprehensible, and sometimes it's just a very obvious response. But in any case, usually the cartoon makes it clear that the trip up the mountain was either unnecessary or unhelpful. Now, in this passage from Scripture today, however, Jesus is the one who climbs the mountain. He goes with his disciples, of course, but he's the one who leads them there. So we have to wonder, what on earth is he expecting from his mountaintop experience? What is Jesus seeking there? For us, Jesus' trip up the mountain is vital in showing us who Jesus is. On the mountain, Jesus is revealed in a glorious light. And not only that, but he falls into conversation with two key Old Testament figures, Moses, who gave Israel the law, and Elijah, one of the most important prophets. And they're not just making chit-chat. This is not an idle conversation. They are talking about what they call Jesus' departure, his departure from this world, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension. And that word departure, I think, is not a really great word, because the Greek word here is exodus. They're talking about Jesus' exodus. His exodus, like the way that God led the Israelites out from slavery in Egypt and then led them safely across the Red Sea. That's the exodus. When God leads people to freedom, when God delivers them, when God saves them, that's the exodus. And what Jesus is about to do at Jerusalem is something like that. It's an exodus. Those of us who have ears to hear can gather that Jesus is going to do some liberating. He's going to do some saving. He is going to do some God-like work. Jesus goes up on the mountain at a time of transition just before he starts for Jerusalem. And it's a pretty amazing scene to witness if you're a disciple. But it's a little bit hard to understand as well. There's a lot going on. There's the shining face and the clothes. There's the disciples' amazing opportunity to witness glory. There's a voice from a cloud. But Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. That's kind of a throwaway line. Even more than all the other Gospels, Luke shows Jesus at prayer. We see him pray at his baptism. He goes to deserted places to pray. He will pray at the Garden of Gethsemane before he dies. And this is the only version of the Transfiguration where Jesus prays. You probably know that prayer can be hard if you're being interrupted by other people. And Jesus was having a lot of interruptions, demands of people to heal them, demands to work miracles or to explain the parables. So Jesus goes off on his own to pray. He goes way up the mountain. And now it's not Mount Everest, but it is still a hike. And this hike seems to wear the disciples out. They get up there and the disciples are just sleepy. But they haven't quite fallen asleep. And Peter sees Jesus with his face shining, his clothes shining, talking with Moses and Elijah, and talking about something that he just does not understand. He does not get what is happening up there on the mountain, why they are there. And so he does the best he can. He tries to reframe the situation and in a way that he might make more sense to him. He said, well, we're here. Amazing things are happening. Let's stay. Let's build some little huts. Let's build ourselves some booths to shelter us. Maybe we can just stay up here forever and just keep witnessing to all this glory. But that is not the plan. That's not what Jesus wants. He cannot stay there on the mountain because he has still got some work to do. And so the bright cloud fades, and Moses and Elijah disappear, and Jesus and the disciples go back down the mountain. And there they find a man in distress and a child in need of healing. Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit that has possessed the child, heals the boy, and gives him back to his father. And all are astounded at the greatness of God. That's the key to the passage. Most of us don't have mountaintop experiences, and we may not understand them if we do. The air is thin and our brains just aren't working the way we want them to. But when we come down from the mountain, we have the opportunity to understand what's happening, to understand it a little bit better. Perhaps the experience on top of the mountain has changed us. Now we get what's going on. It's down on our level, after all. Down on our level, we see the healings that happen when Jesus is around. Down on our level, we see the lives that are changed. Down on our level, we see the sorrow that is relieved, the children who are freed from demons. Down on our level is when we see the things like that and we know who Jesus is, and all are astounded at the greatness of God. The mountain is high and lofty, but it doesn't always make us understand God when we are there. It's just too different from our experience. And so that's why Jesus comes down to us, so we can get it on our own terms. He comes down to our level. He even comes down to the level of the bread and the cup. Jesus is both God and human. The church has proclaimed that for years. He is at home in both the mountaintop and in the stable. And I try to get that. I try to understand what that means for him to be both of those things. And I love Jesus as a teacher. I'm okay with him when he's doing the things he does as a human. And also, I can deal with Jesus as my resurrected Lord, but it's hard when he's both at once, isn't it? It makes me uncomfortable in scenes like they're up on there on the mountain when he's somehow both human and divine. I just don't always get how those two things together. And so Jesus tries to make it as plain and as down to earth as possible. He is the bread. He is the wine. He is the stuff of everyday life. And he's the means of transformation. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Our glimpses of Jesus in glory on the mountaintop, those aren't private devotional times that can go on forever. Our glimpses of Jesus cannot be removed from the stresses of everyday life. And so Jesus comes down. He comes down to our level. He gives us a glimpse of new possibilities here on earth at the ground level. Jesus, the Son of God, heals the child at ground level. He heals the son of a man. When Jesus is part of your life, transformation happens. Transfiguration, healing, joy happens because God is present here among us. This is the mystery of the transfiguration. Not just that on that mountaintop Jesus shines like the sun, but that down from the mountain, Jesus comes among us, bringing the glory of God home to us in the everyday things of bread and cup. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.